Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 60.
Hoksib, that's Cambodian.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a nice March, middle of your winter or end of winter, beginning of spring.
Or if you're on the other side of the world.
End of summer. Sorry for those who are ending summer. Man, I'm excited for summer.
Oh my gosh, me too. I'm so over wearing coats and boots.
Yeah, the weather in New York here is just nasty.
Yes, it is.
But it wasn't so bad when we went to D.C. this past week to see Big Apple.
No, we went to D.C. because my godson, whose name is King, which is a very strong name, he is 4. And I was like, I'm taking him to the Big Apple Circus for the first time. And he's already seen Universal and Vasquez, Circo Mano Vasquez. But I was like, oh, man, we got to take him to Big Apple. Like, we got to be the first people to take him. So we drove down there because the tent was outside of D.C. in Maryland.
In this area called National Harbor, which is sort of like a mall, outdoor strip mall kind of, but like nice and developed. Yeah. I think it was developed for the harbor, but they have this big...
It was developed for the convention center that they built.
Oh, the convention center. Okay.
Yeah.
And D.C. is so pretty. It's got so much like government, federal money there. Everything around there is just built up and nice, but they had a big sort of football field sized lot they put the circus tent up on.
Yeah, it's funny because I've only actually ever been in my adult life to Big Apple at Lincoln Center. So seeing it on a lot that's bigger and like you can breathe a little bit more was fun to see, because backstage at, you know, Lincoln Center is like a sardine can, whereas this was like much more spacious, I guess I would say.
Yeah, totally agree that it's more spacious. I mean, it's just got more land.
Yeah.
But the show was great. Definitely got way tighter, way better since the New York run. I can say that for sure. Brent Macbeth has replaced Grandma. Brent's a clown who is in Parallel Exit, among other things.
Really, his background is theater.
Theater. And he was fantastic. Like, yes. I would say even better than Grandma. Way more energy. Mm-hmm. Like, way more committed to the bits.
Yes. Well, what I was saying to Joel is that when
Joel
I watched...
Joel is the other clown in the
Joel
show.
Joel Jeske is the other clown in the show who was the other clown in the show with Grandma.
Yeah, Mr. Joel.
Mr. Joel. And I think that Grandma was almost like her own, well, she is her own character, right? And so having her in this show that has nothing to do with Grandma felt like she was like all like pushed into the
just
show.
Kind of random.
Yeah. And then because it was Ty who is the ringmaster, then there was Mr. Joel, and then there was Grandma, it was very confusing as an audience member, like who the... It didn't feel like anyone had like a real flow to it. And now Ty makes a little bit more sense as the ringmaster. And Brent and Joel really work together very well as two clowns. And you just can like kind of get into the show a little bit more, I would say.
Yes, I would say. It just feels like it moves a little faster.
Yes.
The guy caught his quad again.
Oh, yeah. The guy caught his quad again. He's so good on the trapeze, the flying trapeze. He's so good. You know, I love hearing what kids say is their favorite thing because they have no filter, especially a 4-year-old who is very sure of himself. And I was like, King, what was your favorite act? And his favorite act was the water spitting act with Joel and Brent.
I love water spitting.
I mean,
you can't really go wrong with
the whole time though. I'm like, oh, how dirty is that water that's in that like bin? They're putting their like hats in it, like, oh, I just can't do it.
Yeah, water spitting is one of my favorites though.
Yeah, they also King also called Jenny Vidbelt, who does a horse animal training act, he called her Elsa, which I was confused by because she looked nothing like Elsa, but I guess
she
was
about? She's blonde, she looks like she's from Sweden.
Yeah, I guess
she's
true,
she's magically controlling all these animals. I totally get the Elsa connection,
but he thought it was Elsa, so that was cool.
That's a props, Jenny Vidbelt. If anybody knows Jenny well, I really want to have her on the podcast, so if you're a bud of Jenny's and listening,
hook us up.
Hello at Hideaway Circus, make that happen.
Yes.
So another interesting sort of just piece of news that happened this week is Trump related. And we don't really ever talk about politics on the podcast, but very rarely does Trump and our circus world collide. And it did this week. because these two reporters, who one of which works for Mother Jones, the other of which is the head of news for Yahoo News, just released a new book. And in the book, they talk about a 2013 meeting between Trump and a Russian oligarch family, the Agalarovs, who are essentially real estate magnates in Russia and would have been the partners on the Trump Hotel in Moscow and were actually Trump's partners for the Miss Universe pageant when it was held in Moscow. And the son, Emin, is the one who emailed Trump about that meeting where they were like, we got dirt on Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. But turns out, guess where do they go and party when they go to Vegas?
The Act.
The Act, which is the R-rated version of The Box, which is a...
What's the box-rated version in New York?
The Box is X in New York.
Oh, you think it's R in Vegas.
It was 100% R okay. in Vegas. So in The Box New York, you'll see things that are...
The Box is a nightclub in New York that we've spoken about.
With a variety show. I really cut my teeth there. Many years working in the New York one and the London one. It is X-rated. A lot of nudity. A lot of graphic things happening. And for kids listening, now is a moment of earmuffs. But there's simulated urination in some of the acts. Because it's funny, you know? When you're in an adult setting and you're drinking and you're watching somebody fake pee on the audience or fake pee on the people, it's just straight up funny, you know? But they...
if that's your sense of humor.
If that's your sense of humor. But I think if you're an adult, you can get it. And this, like, new breaking Trump news is all about, like, is there a connection between Trump's pee tape and Trump watching pee at the Act? Like, oh the stars are aligning. And, you know, I am as anti-Trump as the next person. Truly, truly, truly. But that seems like a bit of a stretch say that the pee tape is true because Trump went to the Act in 2013. Having said that, it's kind of an interesting point to note, like, all these Russian oligarchs going and partying at circus nightclubs where many of us in the industry work. A lot of these shady deals were going down in places that, you know, we're only 20, 30 feet away from on stage.
But, you know, there's something about The Box. I never went to the Act, but The Box in New York definitely does feel, like, a little bit shady and because it's so dark and it's small and it feels like a underground nightclub.
Yeah, that's the whole... That's literally the vibe of
it. So why would... It's not that crazy to think that these shady deals with Russians and Trump went down there.
No, not at all. And the funny thing is the writers really try to, like, talk up how dirty the Act is. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the creators of the Act, the guys who made The Box, were all like, God damn, we have to make the Act so R-rated because there's so many things in Vegas not allowed to do. For example... you're not allowed to have nudity within proximity and a certain amount of feet to a bar because you can't sell alcohol and have breasts basically out within, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet of one another. Those rules don't exist in New York or London, so they can do a lot more things. After about 6 months of operating in Vegas back in 2013 and 14, the Act was closed by the state or city government for breaking a lot of those sort of nudity-related, drinking-related combo laws that exist. Mm. And although Vegas is known to be Sin City, it is actually a very, very strict city.
When
it goes to actual performing law and things you can do in entertainment. You can drink outside, which is a thing you can't do in many places in the U.S. But cities like New York, London, L.A., Montreal, you can actually see much more risque things on stage than you are legally allowed to do in Vegas.
Well, another show that's in Vegas is our show, Misbehave.
Heck yeah, Misbehave.
We have Murray Hill and his glamorous assistant currently starring in the Vegas show. And Amy Saunders and Brett Pfister are now in Sydney performing at the Opera House Misbehave Game Show.
The Sydney Opera House. And I am jealous I'm out there because the footage looks amazing. They seem like they're really, really crushing it.
Oh, and Monkey. Hate Monkey.
Evil Hate Monkey. Adam Crandall, another previous guest.
Yes.
In fact, Amy, Brett, and Adam have all been guests on this podcast. Yes. Maybe Murray will be one day, too. But if you go to Vegas and you've already seen Misbehave, now's a great week to go see it with a different host. And Murray has a totally different flair. Mm-hmm. Same kinds of games, same premise, different host. He's only in there for one more week before Amy is back in Las Vegas. But we are working on a little bit of a tour route with Misbehave and Amy. So... If you don't live in Vegas, you might have a few more opportunities in the next year or 2 years to see it.
You and I saw, yesterday. I saw a matinee yesterday of a Broadway show called Once on This Island.
Oh.
And it's one of those, it's a revival.
Okay.
And it's one of those shows that, you know, as a musical theater nerd growing up, I never had any interest in. Mm. And I don't know why. I knew like one song from it, but I just had no interest in it. So Josh's mom actually invited me. So I went. And It was so awesome. And I think it was really moving to see because the whole cast is African-American. And, well, not the whole cast, but most of the cast. And it's island music. It's basically Romeo and Juliet, but takes place on a Caribbean island. Mm. And it's with poor people and rich people are the two sides, essentially. But the whole audience was young kids and people of different ethnicities. And it was just like a really fun vibe. And it just seemed like a community of people that we don't really see on Broadway, except like maybe in Hamilton and maybe Aladdin. I don't know. But I really, really, really enjoyed it and would recommend it.
Great. Yeah. I'm bummed I did not.
Although there was a live goat in the show and a chicken, which it just seemed unnecessary.
Live goat?
Yeah, and it was so loud at this one point, and there was like flashing lights, and because it was a sacrificial goat.
Do goats count as domestic animals? I wonder where you draw the line for like Broadway on which animals.
I don't know. And a chicken.
Chickens are
just
generally.
You don't have chickens in your house, though.
People do. What are you talking about? Yeah, they have eggs. They have chickens at their house.
In a chicken coop.
Sure. Sometimes the chickens walk in the house.
Yeah, but there was a goat on stage, and it was brought out. It was very loud because there was sacrificing the goat, and it.
Wait, they didn't actually sacrifice the goat on stage.
Well, no, obviously it was make believe. It's theater. They like literally take the goat. Okay, this is actually pretty funny. So it's like they were trying to save this like rich boy's life is like the premise, and he's Romeo basically. But they're like, we have to do a ceremony to the gods to save him. And, like, I don't think they needed this because not once in the song really is it like, we need a goat to sacrifice, you know. But this one guy brings the goat down the aisle onto the stage, then up the other aisle, and then comes back down the aisle with a bucket with a little bit of red paint on the side to show that, like, he just went and, like, sacrificed this goat for this ceremony. And your mom leaned over to me and she was like, I'm all for goats, but I think it might be a little loud for a poor little goat. And I was like, I agree. It felt like really loud.
Oh, to the volume of the show.
And the lights and everything. And it just seemed like, why do we need a goat on stage?
Well, I guess it's a good question. We'll put that out to our listeners. Feel free to answer that on Twitter. Why do we need goats on stage? So on today's episode, this is actually, I'll put up there and say it's one of our weirdest episodes.
Definitely. It's 1,000% the weirdest. I don't know if it's one of the weirdest. I think it is the weirdest.
It is the weirdest. But it's pretty funny. You know, when we were recording it, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to edit this a lot to make it sort of like flow. But listening back to it, Lindsay and I decided not to edit it at all. So you're going to hear about a 25-minute interview with Ross Mollison, who is the producer, founder of Spiegelworld. Their previous shows include Absinthe and Empire and Vegas Nocturne. Ross has been a previous podcast guest and was a mentor of mine. So this is actually his second time on the show, but he's accompanied by Harry M. Howie,
where's his business card?
It's on the shelf right there.
What does he call himself?
The promoter of opium at the Cosmo. So Harry M. Howie is the new main character in the latest Spiegelworld show called Opium, opening at the Cosmopolitan later in April. It's in previews right now.
So Harry M. Howie is a promoter, freelance journalist, and a numerologist.
Mm. But in the same way that if you've seen Absinthe, Gazillionaire, who is the host, is a character, he's a producer, promoter character, so is Harry M. Howie. And Harry is in character this whole interview, which is, I think, essentially what makes it super strange, because as listeners will know, all of our interviews are about real people's lives, and we're interviewing real people about what's actually happened to them, why, how, when, where, all those kinds of questions. And Harry is a fictional character that we are talking to. And Ross has an interesting job bouncing between being in character with Harry and, pulling back the curtain a little bit and being real. Harry's mostly funny in this episode, and so is Ross. But Ross has some really good...
Did I just detect some shit? Mostly funny.
Yeah, Harry was, I'd say, mostly funny. But Ross has some really good gems in there.
Harry, don't get offended.
But, you know, if you're interested about the show, about Vegas, about Spiegelworld, this is a fun, funny interview.
Yeah, I had fun. It was such a weird interview, but, you know, I don't know. And honestly, you will hear, no one really knows what the show is, I don't think.
No. And That's sort of the whole game of it, a little bit. Well, I'll tell you what we do know about the show, and hopefully that will frame the context of this interview a little bit. It's a new show at Cosmopolitan. The room it's in was where Spiegelworld's previous show, Vegas Nocturne, was in. And it's kind of an odd space. It's got a very low ceiling. It's another small stage, like Absinthe, so it's circular. I don't know, maybe it's tops 8-10 feet across in diameter. So quite a small area to play on. I think the room seats about 200 people. The show's theme is space, essentially. It's called Opium, probably sticking with, you know, the idea of drugs and alcohol is the name. Absinthe, you know, is a drink. So clearly that sort of works with the Spiegelworld brand. One of the directors is Matt Hodges, who's a longtime Spiegelworld sort of in-house artist. If you've been to Absinthe, Matt Hodges and Josh Sangin designed the entire inside of that tent. So
awesome.
The show is definitely going to have a very strong visual aesthetic to it. That's really where Matt comes from. Mm-hmm. Ross is sort of doing his traditional producing, promoting role, and it seems like he's knocked it out of the park. The show has gotten more coverage on the internet than I have seen any other Vegas show get since I have been paying attention. And I think the trick behind it, and Ross sort of talks about it, is that they are not saying what the hell the show is. Mm-hmm. So everybody's like, what is the show? And they're not saying. And that makes everybody interested. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear them talk a little bit about that on the episode.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were there recording, we didn't see much either. So I really don't know what it is. Heard a lot of yelling, and which you can actually hear on the podcast. And some maybe like modern-y dance.
Yeah. My best guess is that it's probably going to have a backbone of mostly comedy with somewhere between 4 and 6 comedic performers. I think there'd be a few musicians, or at least people who double as musicians. I would guess another 3 to 4 variety acts, and then maybe 2 or 3 circus acts.
Well, we'll see if you're right when we go see it.
We will. We're going to go out in late April. The show opens April 8th. But that's sort of my guess. I hope that sort of fills in the details around one of the oddest conversations we've had. But, you know, we're in episode 60, so you guys are in for, you know, something a little bit different.
And if anyone grew up, like, in the 90s, 2000s, there was a Disney show that took place in outer space, and I cannot remember what the show was. But they would say, like, Zetus Lapidus. Do you remember what that
show
was?
No, I know exactly what it's called. I thought we did remember the name of it. I can't, though. It's got a main character. Kind of looks like Hilary Duff, but not Hilary Duff, right? Twitter, tweet us. Write us hello at Hideaway Circus. If you know what movie we're talking about, a Disney Channel TV show we're talking about, or if you know Jenny Vidbell, the horse trainer.
Yes, if you know this. But if you like our podcast, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter tweet us, or email us at hello@hideawaycircus.com. We really do appreciate everyone who emails us and gives us ideas or just encouraging words. It really does mean a lot to us, so thank you. Here is our interview with Harry M. Howie and Ross Mollison.
So maybe you guys, Ross, you could tell us like where we are right now, where we're recording this.
Well, we're at the Spiegelworld Ballroom at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, which is, to my mind, the finest resort in Las Vegas, amongst many other fine resorts.
You don't get in trouble with Caesars from saying that?
No. I mean, you know, Caesars would agree that, you know, there's many fine resorts in Vegas, of which Caesars is one.
Yeah.
And certainly, especially for a younger demographic, the Cosmopolitan is a very fine resort.
Yeah.
And there's no finer place than the Spiegelworld Ballroom.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. The bathrooms are really cool and
right
dark.
We have bathrooms. Yeah.
Great shit ass.
Yeah, it is.
And you guys are in the middle of the creation process for your new show, Opium. Where in that process are you?
Well, I'm really just along for the ride. you know, a friend of mine asked me, whom you know, Josh, the gazillionaire, asked me if I could help out, basically. So I'm really just here to help out.
Put us in contact, and Ross is a great guy to know, all right? Piecing it all together. You need some good hands in it, all right? Kneading the dough, all right, as you make a loaf.
You're the host of this show, right?
I'm the promoter. Producer as well, coming from the outside in, all right, lifting it up. Directing, bringing it around, shaping it.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and about what the show is, or why here and now.
Harry M. Howie, right? This is a cutting-edge show. It's got to happen right now. It's very important that it happens at this exact time. in this exact place. Right? All this is written already. We're receiving it. Right? Messages from outer space, maybe even outer than that.
So do you think you're a Martian or...
I'm not a Martian now.
You're just receiving it.
Martians could be involved, okay. Right? Uh-huh. And quite possibly this is aiming to become the first show to be performed on Mars. We've been speaking with Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
That's in the works. That's,
that's pretty, Gigafactory is pretty close to here.
Pretty soon that's all going down, right? We've got our people on the phone with him and sometimes him in the person talking. Right? I recognize his voice. Pretty sure it's him talking to me. And we've got it locked away. It's going to be the first show on Mars. So this is just a trial right here. Just going to try it out. It's kind of a test run.
Prior to space.
But it's got to be the most cutting edge space. That's why we're here at the Cosmo.
So, you know, sort of the vibe of Absinthe a little bit is like it's kind of the experience of the drink in a way. It's more than that, but it's sort of the backbone. Is opium, like the drug, similarly themed the way Absinthe is sort of based around the drink?
Great. So we came to this term opium separate from the narcotic that ruins people's lives.
Right? Oh, right. It was like a mall, right? Or a store.
This has a lot to do with numerology, right? Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
No.
Numbers corresponding to letters, right? It all matters. Every number in your life, your age, time of birth, it all adds up to something, right? And we've been receiving these messages. We've got a specific three numbers coming over and over again, different patterns, right? We had 13. 15, 16, those letters correspond, OPM.
Oh.
Right, rearrange them. You get a lot of the letters at Cosmopolitan, all right?
Mm-hmm. So no relationship to the drug?
I'll learn that once you've seen it, you're going to want to see it again, all right? And again, until it eventually kills you, ruins your life, possibly. That's
okay. I like your style. Like it's kind of like 70s, but maybe a little 50s.
Oh, great. Yeah, a lot of this is just, it's been, you know, dusted it off. It's been in the closet for a while. And some of it was my uncle's and a lot of family clothes here. But I'm a dresser, so
yeah,
I like to look good.
Great. What's the tie? What's the name, John?
Yeah, great. So this is a, clearly, whenever I tie this, John White, right? That's a big company. Look it up. I'm sure it's well known.
It's the back of the tie. I thought it was a name tag on your tie.
I tied it in a rush, all right? So I didn't have a lot of time to prepare.
That's cool.
I guess you're pretty busy with rehearsal, overseeing.
Great.
Yeah, maybe you guys could talk about for a second, both from a character, you know, the person who has to be in the show and somebody producing it, what the process is.
Are you planning to be in the show, Harry?
I'm not planning on it, no.
Oh.
Just watching.
Just watching,
and
supporting.
Shaping. Great.
So what's your role then, Ross? Sounds like he's doing your job.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like a contracted producer. You know, I knew the people at the Cosmopolitan, and Gaz said, I mean, I wouldn't want to paraphrase what he said, but, you know, he wasn't like, get this guy out of my life, but, you know,
he's my mate.
He's a joker, isn't he?
He's joking around.
He's a joker. He was more like, can you, you know those dudes... And Harry, you know Harry from Australia. And I said, well, look, everyone's heard of Harry. We'd never actually met.
First of all,
right.
Calico Cat Circus in Australia. That's me right there. Right.
I love cats.
They're great. They're great to work with. They're difficult.
Mm-hmm.
No animals in this show, presumably, though, right?
No animals. Not
okay.
from this world.
So, like, what is the show? Like, what, as an audience member coming to see the show? Maybe you don't want to give too much away,
great.
But what is it?
I could say this, all right? It's going to be out of this world.
Well, clearly.
It's got a space theme. We've got that.
Right. It's going to be galactic in scale.
Uh-huh.
Right? First show on Mars.
Right.
We get that.
But, like, the show
content-wise.
Prior to Mars being in the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, what can we expect?
Well, I've been kind of in and out of the rehearsal room a bit. And, you know, I think, like, Harry's keeping these cards very close to his chest.
Right, yeah.
Because I don't think he's got any idea what the show is going to be. And, you know, he wants to keep everything floating up in the air until the first preview, I guess, right? Which is...
Oh, wow, that's risky. A little 30. Risky.
March 13, because
right.
I keep saying... Well, we're going to see a run.
Yeah.
When are we going to see a run?
It's the
nature. And then, you know, that's why, because I've been getting emails from the president saying, well, are we going to see a run? When are we going to see a run? And I say that to Harry.
It's a little pressure.
A lot of pressure. And he just says, look, this is not the way he wants to work. It's not the way you work in Australia, apparently. With the cat circus, you opened it.
You've got to let the cats do what they're going to do.
Right.
A lot of it.
So you're just like trying a lot of stuff.
Showing it out.
And March 13th.
Throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Well, see what sticks.
And what we've discovered with this is that people love the name and the artwork so much that tickets are selling like hotcakes.
Even though no one knows what the show is.
So we don't want to stuff it up by telling people what the show's about.
Right.
Like
so
we feel like if you tell them what the show's about, maybe they'll go, well,
maybe not.
That's not for me.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
So it's better just to keep it out there. In fact, it'd be better if we probably never opened the show. We just sold the tickets.
Sell tickets.
Yeah.
Harry's done that before. You were a guest of Her Majesty for a while.
A couple of times there. But we don't talk about that.
Well, I do have to ask, you know, because the podcast is very circus themed. Is there going to be circus acts in the show? Variety acts? Anything in that world?
All of this is coming from a cosmic-comical orientation.
Right. I mean, the Ringling's theme 2 years ago was outer space, too. So
out of
a lot
this
of
world.
Good, you know, a lot of good space-themed acts.
Great. There's going to be acts you've
never
seen.
You do ice skating on.
We picked up some ideas from that, too. I know, you know, because I put in a few. They had these monkey lights, I think they were called.
Oh, really?
Which I told Harry about. And I think we might have bought a few of them.
That's
right.
Cool.
Space monkeys.
There was a really good theme song where you're like, blast off!
Oh, yeah, you guys should use that.
I don't know. Do you think they're right? They
keep losing their lawsuits, so you should be fine.
we're good at those, but we've had a good run. You know, you don't want to try your luck
right.
all the time.
What's important is we've got the players, all right?
Uh-huh.
They've come from all over. I don't, some of them almost non-verbal, right? They're maybe from outer space, and I'm saying that on the DL,
right?
Yeah. I know this is a podcast, but if you're listening, try to keep it to yourself, all right?
Okay.
Some of them from all over far reaches of this world.
So, like, what, and other than outer space, what really inspires you as a creator and a producer?
Great. What inspires me? That's a good question. I'm a connoisseur of the strange, all right, of the out there, and something that just speaks to me, right? Call it fate, call it destiny.
That movie with Meg Ryan, like You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail. That's a good one. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I like looking into the cosmos and seeing the show materialize before my eyes and just plucking it out of the stars.
Well, at some point, Harry, I wouldn't mind looking into the cosmopolitan and seeing the show materialise.
Great, yeah, that's coming along. You're going to have some viewing.
So we can actually, you know, tell the circus podcasts of the world, you know.
All in good time, all in good time.
Do you think there'd be an acrobat in it, or?
There, in a way, possibly, great. Could be an acrobat, could be an acrobat.
You could really
any
be
other
like a politician,
creature.
Just like skirting around.
It is and it isn't.
Answers. You're really
yes
good.
Yes and no. Right?
Yes.
We want to keep it open for interpretation. A lot of it. If you say what it is now, they come in with an idea in their head.
Right.
And when you're looking at a baseball bat, they're seeing a flamingo.
Right.
Right. So.
Right. Well, flamingos are one of the best animals because of the color.
Will there be flamingos?
they're not at the moment. No flamingos, great.
Oh.
I don't want to give anything away, but
it kind of does that a little bit.
The flamingo is a big inspiration for Vegas shows. There's a casino, there's a road. There was a lot of flamingo headdresses in past shows. It's an interesting reference point.
So
I don't think I've seen a live flamingo on stage.
That can be your animal.
There's a lot of theories about flamingos. It's just a strange-looking bird. Perhaps
right.
It came from outer space as well.
So did you see the last show that Ross was a part of here and that Josh was as well, Vegas Nocturne?
Vegas Nocturne, yeah. Great show. Great. Really amazing
Are
stuff.
You using this space in a similar way or are you kind of keeping it into one area?
We're using the space here differently, right? We've brought it in and we've warmed it up, but it's still cold. Very stark.
Cold.
But very cozy at the same time. It's got a
cold and cozy.
Outer space and
okay.
then also right in the inner of your living room, perhaps.
Right.
It's got a loungy really loungy, kind of excited, relaxed vigor.
Uh-huh. I feel like I'm more confused.
The opium part is how the audience feels after, you know, getting some of these answers. Because I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this show? But I guess that's the idea. And clearly it's working also because I have not seen a show in Vegas get nearly the amount of press that Opium has gotten since I've been aware of what's going on in Vegas.
Well, that's one of the great assets that Harry brought to the table, which I was unaware of when Gaz told me to, you know, have a meeting with him, which we had at McDonald's a few months ago. And he's a big fan of American fast food.
Is McDonald's your favorite?
McDonald's has really been there for me. Those apple pies that just I've been living off of them. All right, when you come to a new place, you're looking for something comfortable, something familiar, and McDonald's is there for me, right? And I'm hashtag loving it still.
What I was going to say is that Harry is also a freelance journalist.
Oh yeah, so, that's what you're writing.
Right. Yeah, so
when
Sheldon heard about that, he signed him up for the Review Journal, right? And he's been writing for that for the last few weeks.
It's been great. It's been great to get the word out.
Ooh. So are you also casting the show, or is?
Well, the cast worked itself out. I put a call out. Didn't know exactly what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Set up a radio tower and some coordinates I received in my sleep.
In Las Vegas.
In Vegas. Yes.
Oh wow!
I've always dreamed of coming to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just worked out. The messages I was receiving sent me directly here. Right? Sold a trailer in Australia. My ex-wife, we co-owned it, but we're going to work that out. And I bought a ticket out here.
So now we're getting into some drama with relationships.
Bit of drama, but it's not really anything worth talking about. We're still close. We mm-hmm. talk. And
she's in Australia?
Yeah, she's back in.
So you don't have to talk to her all the time?
Not all the time. It's a bit of space. Different time frames. It's night and day.
Really.
It's helpful. It's great. Don't need to go back anytime soon, but I'm really busy here, so.
Oh my God. Ross has a massive knee thing on. What is it? A knee brace?
This is nothing to do with the show.
No.
This
but it is also kind of feels a little, like robotic in a way.
Great.
Yeah, it's like your
right.
spacesuit.
Yeah. Well,
it's like
it is. Cool. It's, it's a state-of-the-art knee brace for someone who's recovering from knee surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I highly recommend it. And what's been great about
knee surgery.
Yeah. Well, knee surgery is good if when you walk, you fall on the ground. And when you've had the knee surgery, the brace is good so that you don't have to go back and have more knee surgery. But what has been amazing about this process for me is the physical therapy and really understanding what acrobats go through.
Mm.
And, because when I go to physical therapy every day, I'm seeing all our acrobats and getting all in there having their PT, which is wonderful. And for them, it's a way of life. And I know you, Josh, would know that as a former acro. It's extraordinary just to think, you know, actually I think it's a really good way of life in a way to have that in your frame of reference that you have to keep working your body to keep
be aware
so,
of it.
Yeah, it's been an amazing process, but it's healing really well. And I'm hoping it'll be right for opening night so that I can, if there's some dancing maybe, do you think?
Ooh.
Well, there'll be dancing. All right.
There's dancing. Okay.
So when is opening night again? Previews are in March?
March 13th.
And with the official opening...
The official opening, we have a date set in mind of April 8, but if the show sucks, we might.
Oh God. I wonder if they can hear us. So, like, what's that screaming?
What's
that sounds like a murder.
So we're working
happening.
On something in there, all right? That's just top secret. All you need to know is that they're screaming and that things are worth screaming about, right? Just tell that to the
really
people.
There you go.
Guttural.
Opium, worth screaming about.
Great, yeah, scream it out.
There's your new podcast.
We need that.
We're screaming about it.
We take inspiration.
Highway podcast.
Yeah.
We'll put that
exactly.
on the marquee.
Do it. I'll take it. We'll take that.
Most of our quotes actually are from the Las Vegas Review Journal at the moment.
Yeah.
From their new journalist there, Harry and Howie, who's been saying a lot of nice things about the show, which is probably why the tickets are
talking
selling
it
so
out. Right? It's all about hype for a while.
Yeah, because I hear that, you know, ticket sales are down around town in anticipation of this.
Mm.
People have stopped buying in
advance.
They've stopped buying in advance when they know this is on. So, you know.
Right.
It's the show of the future. right? People looking ahead.
What's the show of the space? It's like, what was that show on Disney that was all out in outer space? And it was like, Zetus Lapidus. Remember that show?
What show was that?
Maybe it's a good, like, inspirational show for you.
We should take inspiration from everywhere, including Ross's brace. Advanced robotics have always been a passion of mine, so that's going to work its way in somehow.
Yeah.
I love to see a robot act.
I love watching what's going on right now with current technology and thinking.
Much cheaper to hire robots.
Where will we be when we're on Mars? Great, robots will probably be.
Well, I don't know if it is cheaper because we've been, you know, as Harry said, talking a lot to Elon Musk about, you know, what we're doing. And we had with another show we have, we did a dinner party for him. And we had all our artists at a dinner party. And he really is a lover of Spiegelworld, which is led to this relationship between Harry and Elon. And Elon's also got a good sense of humor, wouldn't you say?
Right, funny guy.
Wait, so do you buy his simulation theory that we're living in a simulation, or is this
100%. Right, 1 in a billion chance that this isn't a simulation. Right, I believe that. Right, but it's a good simulation. Isn't it?
So the show's already happened before, and we're just...
It's one of many variations, right? But we're here now. We're going to enjoy it.
Great.
It's important. Each one is important
as the
next.
This is the third time we've done this exact interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why our questions are
it's
so good.
Second for me.
Great. Well, I'm excited to see the show. I think we're going to come out end of April. Check it out. Come back and come
tomorrow. Yeah.
Should be okay by the end of April.
It's going to be
here,
Tara. It's going to be great. It's going to change a bit. Right, just think shift is planets shift. We're going to align ourselves with the gravitational
forces.
Well,
March 13th will be really interesting since you don't really know what it is yet.
Right, yeah. If you've got an eye, if you like watching things evolve, right, which is a lot of what this is about, evolution, right, of human beings, come have a look in the beginning.
Yeah.
Come in a month later.
So people could buy a ticket each week.
Great, yeah, really.
Well, that would be amazing if they did that.
Normally
they don't. But that could be a new market.
You like what you see.
Yeah,
come
it's
back
a constant
again.
Evolution.
Constant
you need to come back each week.
Yeah, it's a brand new show and these can be wild.
I certainly may.
That would work.
Or may not. Depends. Fortunately, we've got the Gaz behind us, so I guess, you know, he gave us a kind of a duffel bag. It was
good. He's got deep pockets.
Full of $100 bills. And he said, when that's done, don't come back for more.
Oh, great.
So
great.
We could probably run it for about 2 weeks. And then if we don't sell any tickets or any booze, Harry, we'll have to go back to Australia.
Great. Well,
yeah, there goes your
music. To think like that. Great. So
that negative thought.
It's a lot I can't. I'm not ready to go back.
Yeah, I always thought Ross was good at applying the right amount of pressure. Show's not good. You're going back to your wife in Australia.
Well, he doesn't have to. It's just I will be going on to the next thing. But, you know, that's just the way of show business. And, you know, as Harry knows.
These things move forward quickly.
And they stop quickly.
Yeah.
You know, as we've seen in the past, and that's just the way of, you know, it's not called show.
We might have to wait until Elon gets a... rehearsal down up on the red planet.
Is he going to be a guest? Will he make a guest appearance in the show?
I'm sure.
I'm not sure if he's coming March 13, but I wouldn't be surprised if he comes on the 8th.
He loves to surprise people, just drop in.
Take his Hyperloop over.
He hovers in usually. Right.
Right, or comes in with his boring company.
Sometimes he just sends an empty Tesla to mess with our heads.
The boring company.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, here's Elon. This is Tesla. Oh, it's empty. It's driving itself.
Right.
That's right. He was going to give us a Tesla to sponsor us, but he sent it into space.
That was the one.
We made a character. You made a character for him, right?
Astronaut driving the Earth person.
It's going to be on our show. That very astronaut.
So you're like crafty too.
Great. I'm good with my hands.
Yeah.
Look, made a lot of things out of just gum tree when I was a kid.
Out of gum
branches.
From my point of view as a circus lover, you know, I've never kind of experienced this. And I feel like I'm more the interviewer than the... I'm kind of like with you on this.
Yeah.
Because
you're learning too.
Yeah, because I'm used to going to see Ringling, which when I was 15, I loved that.
Right.
Yeah.
Gunther Gable Williams or Gila Liberté Circus, you know, the Cirque, which became this big thing.
Yeah.
Or
and I mean, you have
Seven
the Circus
Figures,
show in Vegas too.
Or, you know,
right.
Like, yeah, that Vegas hit show.
Yeah.
As we call it.
A lot of circus
hit
show.
Vegas hit show.
Vegas hit show.
Yeah.
All one word, hashtag.
Hashtag.
Yeah. T-shirts coming soon. You know, I'm used to that sort of thing, you know, like a crappy variety show.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I produce. And I've never been, you know, when I first met Harry, we turned up to this shed and there was vintage caravan. Vintage caravan, which he was living in.
Mainstream. It's good American caravan, right? It's in good. We needed a heater. It's a bit cold.
Right.
But, you know, apple warm.
Even
apple
in
pie.
Vegas? Well, right now it's cold.
It's cold now.
Yeah. Were you I saw that press release that, you know, you were
special
part
time.
Of. Were you inspired by Breaking Bad? Because, like, you really reminded me of, like, you know, when they're in their, like, full
gear
and living in, like, RV, Airstream.
So what you're tapping into now is a cosmic consciousness, right? We're all on the same level here, right? Things are happening.
Yeah.
Popping up
sounds
here,
like you're on
there.
Another level, though.
Different level,
yeah.
Of a different level, right? We can perhaps see each other's levels from the balcony.
Sure.
Just wave at one another.
Yeah, yeah.
But our levels
well,
is leveling
I'm
up.
I'm on similar level to that, you know.
Yeah.
Right. We're looking back and ahead at the same time.
Yeah.
It's good.
And like I've been working in Vegas now for a few years, but Harry's just made friends all over town.
Mm.
And what's that Juno that you hang out with all the time now?
Catsy. Right.
Catsy. Hangs out with Catsy all the time.
Johnny Cats, great guy.
Oh, the journalist.
Yeah. Great, yeah.
Come on, you're all hooked up in the press.
There's meetings with me at Macca's.
So are they like, don't worry, we won't tell anyone about, we'll come see the show, but we won't say what it is, or because they're like,
are you
going
to get reviews that don't describe it at all now with those good relationships?
People catch on to the fun we're having, perhaps, right? Some people might try to ruin the magic of it all, but luckily we're going to hopefully keep it changing rapidly, too rapid for anyone to nail anything down.
Great. So people want to find out more, get them tickets, where do they go, what website?
Well, we've done that on speakerworld.com. So
okay.
If you just go to speakerworld.com, you can buy tickets for all our shows now there. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I'd recommend them to people heartily. Is a great attractions. Yeah, our other show, Absinthe, is by some fluke of nature still running.
And you can do a double show, right? You guys are going to have, like, you now have 14 shows a week.
We're going to see the
crazy.
Late show today.
Yeah.
At Absinthe.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
10:00,
no,
right.
We must remember to tell Gaz to comp it up if the media are going to be in. No, we don't want to end up in the house.
Yeah.
And make sure
or
we
else
get
I'm
going to
talk about it.
We're going to get, he also likes to give people heavily spiked bottles of champagne.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully we get one of those.
I'm sure you will.
Fingers crossed.
We find that the Vegas journalists write nicer things.
First time I had.
The Gaz always said a hammer journalist is a accurate one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I should look like. So we usually.
Well,
ask
that's how their audience experiences the show.
Right.
So
it's
we
true.
Don't,
so if the journalist is experiencing it's not like that.
Right.
Good idea. So Ross has already gotten these three final questions,
yeah.
but now we're going to give them to you this time that every podcast guest gets.
Right.
Okay. And I'm just like really excited for your answers.
Great.
So what's a good or really bad piece of advice that you've gotten?
That's stuck with you like for a long time.
Great. So my ex-wife told me, Harry, be yourself. Great. And I did that and she didn't like it. Great. That's where the Calico Cat Circus began. All right. She was not on board for that. It's a lot of herding cats, which is actually even harder than the metaphor implies. But I got good at it. Lost a relationship out of it, but here I am now.
It's like a good and bad piece, right? Led you to Vegas, but you're divorced.
Be yourself. Great, yeah. Be who you're meant to be.
Great. So I think a large group of our listeners are young people who are in circus school or in theater school. So for somebody who's a student wants to learn about this business, is there a movie or a TV show or a book that you recommend they read or watch?
Great. About this business of being in a circus.
Or, you know, anything in the arts.
Out there. Great. If I had it off the top of my head.
We can't say You've Got Mail. We've already covered that.
You've Got Mail is a good one. It's top notch. I'd say Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Fourth Kind?
That is not out yet.
Fifth Kind. Just the whole series. It's a good, I love all of them. Right, 1, 2, and 3. We've got anything cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's land on a really, really good special short circuit. Johnny Five Alive.
Great.
It's a hero. Personal hero of mine.
We'll put links to all of that in our podcast review, our overview. Last question. Who do you think we should have on the podcast?
Next.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, get Elon on here. I'd love to hear
Elon.
It.
Already had him.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Great. So next, after Elon.
We just didn't publish it.
All right. Let's get someone. Love to hear what the Gaz has to say about it.
Good.
Get him on here.
Maybe with Catsy.
Catsy would be great.
Catsy.
Develop Gaz relationship.
Yeah.
Great. That'd be fun duo.
Great. Well, thank you for telling us everything and nothing about this show. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Howie, very nice to meet you. Ross,
wait,
it's a pleasure for coming on.
It's always a pleasure.
Wait, oh,
Howie.
Harry
and Howie.
Oh, sorry. Harry and Howie.
Oh, so you just call him by his last name.
Yeah.
Howie.
That's fine, too.
I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure it's Harry M. Howie.
Harry and Howie.
So
back,
really,
back in Australia, everyone just knows him as Harry M. But
okay.
Harry M. Yeah.
Harry M.
But, I just wanted to say, you know, it's a real service to the industry you guys do, and it's a fabulous thing that your passion for the circus leads you to do this podcast, because I know so many people who listen to it and love it now. And, I want to thank you for that, because I think, you know, it's interesting to see the discussion broaden, and the market is global for this, right? Like, people all over the world can hear this.
That downloads in Cambodia, so I'm sure they're going to...
Big circus market there.
Yes.
And, it's really exciting, so congratulations.
Thanks for coming on.
Look forward
Twice.
To your next show.
Yeah, you're our first,
oh, yeah.
You're our first repeat guest, Ross, so it's an honor.
Wow,
yeah.
It's an
first
honor for
repeat.
Me.
Yes.
Have me back.
Yeah, we will. Harry will...
Future.
Maybe, you know, after opening, we can delve into more of the, you know, show flow.
Right.
I would like to do that before opening.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was fun.
Oh, good time.
Thanks, guys.
And that was our interview with Harry M. Howie and Ross Mollison, the creators behind their new show, Opium.
If you like our podcast, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter tweet us, or email us at hello@hideawaycircus.com.
And make sure you are pinned to your computer screens on March 26th at 1 p.m. East Coast time. We'll be announcing a brand new show from Hideaway Circus.
Woo-hoo! Bye, guys.
Bye.